The reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 24. We're going to start reading at verse 15. Luke chapter 24, verse 15. I've got it all written down for those of you who've want to look it up in the Bible in the pew, and forgot to write the actual other day. It's page 1048 if you want to follow it in there. Otherwise, it'll be on here. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything's ready now, ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go and see it. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I have just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servants, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Amen.
Well, good morning. Really great to be with you this morning. What a joy to come and share at a different church to my own. It's been such a pleasure to be here. I flew up on Friday morning in the smallest plane you have ever seen. It was like some kind of flying minibus. But I arrived safely and I've experienced some of the hospitality of the Northeast, and it's just great to be here with you today. I've shared a little bit already with that little interview there about my heart in my local church to be someone who helps our church think about mission, someone who helps our church think about what does it mean for people who aren't here to be here. How can we perhaps set aside some of our own desires and preferences and thoughts about church? How can we think about church more broadly and more widely for the sake of people who don't know the good news of Jesus like we do? And I've already picked up from spending time with some of you yesterday and the buzz here today that you're a church with good heart, doing loads of good stuff, and that just really encourages me. Who was here yesterday, just out of interest? Just put your hand over here. Oh, lots of you. Yeah, there's a good number of us here. It was just good to talk about that stuff, wasn't it? And to grapple with it together. And I just pray for you as a church as you go on thinking about that. So we've heard this passage read for us this morning. Thank you, Christine. And it's the story of the great banquet, which some of you may know well, others not so well. And I've called this message, and as thinking about that passage, the great invitation. The great invitation. Jesus in this passage is telling a story. Telling a story to plant an image in the minds of the people who are listening about what the kingdom of God is like. So we heard, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed are those who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready. So Jesus is telling a story describing the kingdom of God, and he describes it like a party, which we have to understand was the absolute opposite of what any of his hearers would have imagined when they heard this phrase, the kingdom of God. Jesus describing this certain man, and actually through story he's describing through this parable what his Father God is like and what his followers are invited to. God calls us into a relationship with him, to this party, this banquet. But for the people listening, their understanding of the kingdom of God would have been anything but a party. There were ideas floating around about what the kingdom of God was like, but it wasn't a party. The people thought the kingdom of God was going to be like a great military confrontation, where this Messiah would come, this king would come and would eventually overcome. A victorious battle. That would be their image, the people's image of the kingdom. And the Pharisees, the religious people, the religious elites, for them the kingdom of God was nothing like a party either. For them it was a bit more like a courtroom where the righteous people, the godly people, would be vindicated and evil would be overthrown. It was more like a kind of courtroom scene. So there were ideas floating around about the kingdom of God, but they were like a battle or a courtroom. What they weren't like was a party. Jesus turns upside down their perception of the kingdom of God. And today, the general perception of what it means to know God in our communities is probably nothing like a party either. Somehow, what's been communicated is not that the kingdom of God is this amazing invitation to a celebratory banquet. Let me tell you a true story. In my teenage years, I became a Christian. I'm not from any kind of faith background. My family aren't Christians. I grew up not knowing really anything about Jesus or about church or faith. And I became a Christian through contact with a local church in my later teenage years. And it was really life-changing for me. I was one of those keen, zealous type young Christians, and I would talk to anybody about my faith in Jesus. But there was one group of people that I really struggled to share with, and at that time we would have a lot of visits to our front door from Jehovah's Witnesses, and I was just stumped every time as to what to say. They seemed to know their Bible more than I did and would argue, and I just decided that actually, on advice of a friend, what would be better for me is just to be really polite and say that actually I didn't want to engage in conversation. And a lot longer after I made this resolve, lo and behold, out of my bedroom window, I saw two men in suits and with a clipboardy thing coming up the front path. And full of my newfound resolve, I ran down the stairs, they buzzed on the buzzer, and I opened the door. And this guy said, good morning, madam, we're from the New World. And I said, I think it's better if we don't chat because I'm a Christian. I know that we differ about believing that Jesus is God, so not today, thank you. And politely shut the door. And I was halfway up the stairs when the doorbell rang again, and I went back down again and opened the door, and he said, madam, we've come to deliver your New World cooker. The worst thing about it was that I had to invite them in. And I heard them laughing themselves sick in the kitchen whilst taking this cooker through. It was a long time ago, and I just still cringe at that experience. I've had my fair share of disasters when it comes to sharing my faith. In trying to communicate the gospel to people today, it can still be so difficult to explain that it's good news in a way that people understand. There are so many misconceptions. How amazing that this parable was told all those years ago to misconceptions about what the kingdom of God was about. And here we are today, 21st century British culture, and there are so many misconceptions about what the kingdom of God is about. Do our friends and family and neighbours and contacts and community know that what they're invited to is the most amazing celebratory party? the church, us, you know, that we are God's plan A. He doesn't have another plan with how his message is to be communicated. And that's why I am passionate about helping church rethink who we are, who we're for, and what we look like, for the sake of those people who don't know what it is that they're invited to. The kingdom of God is an invitation. That's at its heart. Jesus says, come. Come to me. He invites us to him. And the fact that this parable describes the kingdom as a banquet says something about the heart of God for people. That he longs for people to come and be with him, to join with him. I don't know how you feel about going to parties. Some people love parties, don't they? Some people hate them. But you would never go to a party if you weren't invited. That's just not protocol. I went recently to a friend's wedding, my friend Louise's wedding, but I didn't receive an invitation. It was a bit awkward. She was a really good friend. I thought maybe I was like category B. Maybe she was going to like bump me up if other people said no, because I just didn't receive an invite to this wedding, even though I knew lots of other friends of ours were going. Eventually she texted me to say, why haven't you replied? I said I didn't get an invite. She'd sent it to my old address. All was well, and I went and really enjoyed that celebration with her. But you don't go to something if you're not invited to it. And actually, perhaps we need to remember that at the heart of the Christian faith is that we're invited, that the kingdom of God is an invitation. And we know we're invited because we're here celebrating it and singing about it. But what about those who don't know that that invitation is there for them? I love that the line of that song, one of the songs that Andrew chose. It says, in your kingdom, broken lives are made new. I love that. And I want church to be a place where people know that is for them. The kingdom of God is like a wedding feast to which everyone is invited. But of course, the invitation depends on how generous the host is, who they invite. My friend Louise had a certain category of people she wanted to invite to her wedding. Good friends and family. Others would come along to an evening do. Others, maybe that she knew a bit, weren't invited at all. Acquaintances. But of course, our host is the most generous, loving, open-hearted, inclusive host of all. The invitation to God's banquet is free. And there are no dress codes, no special arrangements for VIPs. No questions about whether your life matches up or not before you're allowed to come. Come. Come in. Our God is a generous host. The people who are invited in our story start making excuses in the washing my hair category of excuses. They all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married. A bit more reasonable. So I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. What a thought that everyone who was invited, there was still room. The master told his servant, go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. God's heart is that he is a generous host and there is always room. There's ever increasing room in the kingdom of God, this invitation that he invites us and others into. And he doesn't let those who make excuses thwart his plans to hold this banquet. Go out and get people, anyone, I don't care who, bring them in. The invitation depends on the generosity of the host, and our message is that you couldn't have a more generous host than our God who wants to invite people to this celebration. I mentioned already about my role at Chichester Baptist Church and what a privilege it is to be part of a community grappling and thinking about how we do church. We still do church as you do in this way, Sunday services. We still run loads of great stuff like I know you do through the week in our building. But we're starting to think about, is there more we can do outside of our building for the sake of those for whom coming to church is no longer a thing? You know, gone are the days where people would find solace in church or would come to church for answers to spiritual questions. I don't know about you, but I've got friends and, you know, mums at the school gate and neighbours who are interested in faith. They are. They want to talk about stuff. But they don't equate that with coming to church to explore it or coming even into a church building to find help. Some do. But we've been talking in our church about the fact that if we're really honest, most people in and around Chichester, and I'm guessing most people in and around Whitley Bay, don't know this invitation, don't know this generous host, and wouldn't think to come in order to find that out. So we're grappling with what that means and what that looks like, which is some of what we were sharing yesterday. And I showed a clip yesterday that we're going to show in a moment, just to help our church and hopefully your church think a bit again about what church is and who it's for. It's called This Is Discipleship. Have a watch of this now. Thinking about what church is and what church looks like for us. I love the heart here at Whitley Bay and the good that you're doing and the sense of purpose that you have. How can we take all that's good and be more authentically church for the sake of the lost, the last and the least, and for those who don't know there's an invitation and wouldn't think to come? And of course, the motivation behind it all is exactly this generosity of God that we're talking about. And that's the starting point, isn't it? I'd love more than anything else for all our churches to be full of people who know the love of a generous God. That our God is generous in his invitation. That's our starting point. We don't serve out of duty and obligation. I don't want to be in that kind of place. I've served from that kind of place before and it's just exhausting and no fun. I want to be motivated by the love of a generous God, which is the kickstart for us to get out and be where people are. It's interesting in our passage in verse 23, it says, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, which can sound a bit kind of harsh. You know, we're forcing people to come. But it links with a verse in 2 Corinthians that I love that talks about the compelling love of Christ. For Christ's love compels us. The Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I've got this vision, I guess, of churches like yours and like mine, motivated by this love of God, this generous love of God, and from that, this compulsion in us that we're so convinced that he died for us, that we no longer live for ourselves, that we no longer do church for ourselves, but for those that we love to share it with. Some of you here today perhaps might need to hear the challenge of going out in mission, and I'm going to talk about that a bit more. But I do just wonder as well whether for some of you, actually what you need to hear first is that God is generous, and he's generous to you. I had a picture when I was praying about this morning of a basket of fruit, a basket of apples, and all the apples were together next to each other. And amongst this basket of apples, this fruit basket of apples, were a few bruised ones. And I just felt that actually a message about mission can feel like another thing I have to do. When actually we're motivated by the love of a generous God, and that for some of you in particular this morning might need some extra grace from him today for that. And just to know again that God is generous to you. Maybe get someone to pray with you about that today, that he's for you, that he's on your side. He's generous to you before he wants you to then share that generosity with others. So here's my vision, that our churches are full and motivated by the love of God, and then we're ready to share that message with others. But of course, the problem is that it's no good saying loud and clear from here that the message is for everyone if people aren't here to hear that message. People aren't here to hear what we're saying. How can we say, how can we communicate this message about God's love, this invitation, in a way that people will hear it? the implication from our story this morning is that to get people to come, to respond to the invitation to come to Jesus, we've got to go and be where they are. God, this generous host, invites us to partner with him, to do the inviting on his behalf. You know, we get to participate with him in sharing this message. And actually, that clip is what inspires me. It's taking the good and propelling it out into our community. I don't know how many of you are sports lovers here. I'm one of those people, I quite like watching sport. In fact, I love watching sport. I don't do sport, but I love to watch sport whilst eating a bar of Dairy Milk. And I massively got into the Olympics when it was in London in 2012. I became like a woman obsessed about it, maybe because I live nearer. Did anyone go to the Olympics in London? A few of you. We applied for tickets because I was desperate to go, and I just applied for, you know how it worked, that you apply for like everything and you either got none or something. And we applied for loads of tickets, and I got some tickets to, wait for it, synchronized swimming. Now, I was a bit sad about that at first, but I was okay about it because I could go and see the arenas and be part of the atmosphere. So I came around to the idea that I was going to go to the synchronized swimming. Now, get this. 3 weeks before my husband and I were going to watch the synchronized swimming, I'd watched synchronized swimming on YouTube in preparation. But 3 weeks before, we got a phone call to say that they'd overbooked on the synchronized swimming. Would we be willing to forego our tickets, to sacrifice our tickets for an evening in the athletics? I know. And I said to this guy on the phone, some people have to make the sacrifices, and I am willing. I am willing. Honestly, it was one of the best experiences ever. We got to see the 400 metres final. We got to see Usain Bolt's awards ceremony. I felt that you needed some sort of smug photographic proof. It was just unbelievable. It was one of the best experiences of my life. Now, like I say, I enjoy watching sport. I'm not particularly good at it at all, but I love watching it. Now, why was I so into it? Why did I become half woman, half sofa for 17 days when the Olympics was on? It's for the same reason that any of you might be a fan of a particular football team, or were desperate for Andy Murray to win Wimbledon or something like that. It's because we as onlookers, we love to cheer on a champion. We love to cheer on a winner. I was sitting at home watching Mo Farah win the 10,000 metres. You know, I was out of my seat and kind of dancing around watching it. We love to cheer on a winner. And we feel connected to what we're seeing in front of us. When your team win a vital match, it's like it's your victory. When they win, we celebrate. And this isn't confined to sports if you're not sports lovers. You know, when your very best friend gets a promotion, or when your son wins a maths prize at school and you want to burst with pride, it's like you've won. You share in the victory. And that's the Christian message for those of us who follow Jesus. He wins. We've got in him our champion. But we get to participate, to share in the victory and feel what that victory feels like, as if it was us. I've talked to you about what we're trying to do in mobilising our church in missional communities. And this is what I say to our church. This is part of us participating in God's plan. We get to participate in what Jesus has already done for us. I want to show you another little clip. This is a rugby league match in Australia. And what happened was a four-year-old boy was there at the match with his family, and he got separated from his family. He wandered away from his mum and dad onto the pitch, and the team noticed the boy has come onto the pitch, and they allow him to get involved in the action. Have a look at this. That little boy was given the opportunity to participate in the victory in such a way that he was part of it. He's got this story to tell of the time he scored a try. And this is us. God gives us a chance to participate in a victory that's nothing in and of ourselves, that we could never do in and of ourselves, that a victory that he's already won, a plan that he already has, a desire that's already in his heart, and it's somehow he calls us to participate in that and to be involved in that. And that should be a joy for us, and us to have the desire to do that. If we want people to come to this banquet, we have to go. We have to go and be where people are, compelled by love, to be like Jesus and those servants in the story that he's told, to go out into the streets and find people who will accept that invitation. I'm excited about what that might look for you, look like for you. I'm excited about what that might look like for Adam and Naomi and their heart. But for you as a whole church, what might that mean to participate in a victory that's already won in such a way that we feel like we share in it and get the joy of sharing in it? There's nothing like it. It's better than this. Even though this is brilliant, it's better than this when we participate in the mission of God. When you go out into your workplace and share a bit of your faith story with a colleague, you are participating in God's kingdom. When you are kind to somebody who's come to a parent talk or to a mum who's lonely at parent and toddler group, you are participating in the kingdom of God. When you are chatting to a neighbour and you describe an answer to prayer, or you offer to help them with their garden, you are participating in the kingdom of God. Let's add to that and think about how we do church differently, being honest that for most people this isn't going to be it. People won't know that they're invited to the kingdom of God unless we go be where they are in their culture in a way that they are comfortable, motivated by love, and share that we have the best news to share. Perhaps the band want to come back and we'll pray and just think about that a little bit. We've got time this morning, and I would love us just to have a bit of time just to mull on this and just to seek the Lord and just to be in his presence about it. Just wonder whether there are some particular things that God wants to say and do among us. And it's good to hear his word, isn't it? But to kind of mull it over and think what it might mean. So what I suggest is that Andrew's got a couple of songs lined up that we sing together, and we use this song, sing the words or think about it or just pray. And then perhaps after that I'll come back and just help us and lead us in some prayer, thinking about that a bit more. Let's stand, shall we? Holy Spirit, we say that you are really welcome here among us. Thank you, Father, that you are a good, kind, loving, gracious, generous God. Would you pour out your Spirit on us this morning as we are waiting here for you? Thank you that you know exactly what each of us needs. And we don't want to rush from this place, but invite you to do the work that only you can do in our hearts and in our lives. And I just want to pray first for those of you who resonate with the bruised apple, feeling bruised maybe, needing to know that God is for you, that he is on your side today, that he's generous to you. And I pray his love and his healing and his kindness over you today. As you say, Lord, I'm waiting here for you. He honors his promise that when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Lord, would you share your love abroad in our hearts? Would you bring healing, encouragement to those of us who really need it today? Come, Holy Spirit. Just receive the generosity of God. He is generous to you. Lord Jesus. In a sense, it would be really good to pray for empowering for us as we go out into our Monday to Saturday and all the people we're going to rub up against. I wonder if some of you are feeling a particular stirring when we talk about this whole mission thing and about what it means to be church and be good news for people around us. If you feel particularly that's a word for you today, just I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. You don't not for long, just up and down is fine. Great, 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 great. Lord, we all need to be motivated in mission, but for some of us, we're just feeling this calling particularly strongly. And I pray your equipping and enabling for whatever that looks like. Pray for brave conversations this week with our neighbours and our work colleagues, family members, people that we see who don't know you. Give us a spiritual edge to everything that we do. Lord Jesus. And let me just pray God's goodness over you as a church. Lord, you've got plans for Whitley Bay Baptist Church. What a brilliant thought. So we're really excited for you as a church. God, what's it going to look like? Would you show us? Pray for your blessing on Paul and his ministry. Pray a blessing on Adam and his ministry. For the leaders who seek you about the future. For us as church family wanting to do our bit in honouring them and hearing what you're saying to us. God, I pray your goodness over this church. Pray you'd lead them into exciting places. I pray for a unity that won't be divided by any kind of circumstance. And a heart for those who aren't here, but who would love to be invited and they just don't realise it. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and move here. We are here with expectation for you.
Be seated just for a moment. A couple of things I want to share. One I knew I was going to share and the other I wasn't sure I was going to share. But just to say that, I felt the Lord say to me very clearly, that line, healing is in your hands. I mean, it is in God's hands, but by the Holy Spirit. He also puts the ministry of healing in the hands of other people as well. And I just feel there are people here this morning who particularly sense the need to do something about someone's healing. And I just want to say, I believe that God has given you the equipment and the power and encouragement to go forward and to lay your hands on that person you love and you know about. And just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. I just want to encourage you in that. I think that's very real for some of you who are here this morning. I don't think it's a vast majority, but I sense it for some people. You just, having said that, I think you've probably just managed to land it and you know what you need to do with it. The other thing that I knew that I was going to come and say was just to express, first of all, thanks to Ellen for her gentle, encouraging and insightful ministry to us this weekend. I think it's been really, really important. I mean, it's a long way, roundabout way that she comes to be here, but it really started out with Adam's call to train for pioneer ministry with the Baptist Union. We're still working out exactly what that means for him and Naomi. We have a great support group who are behind him. And we're in a church where there's lots and lots going on, lots of stuff being done, kingdom stuff. And we honour the people who sacrifice and give to that week by week. But we just sense, and the whole leadership team were present yesterday morning, and as I said to folk then, I just sense that God is speaking to us at the moment, and we need to be listening to him and seeking his mind for us on this whole area of what it means to be a missional community consisting of missional communities. And we need to unpack that. But what I'm wanting to say is don't say, oh, well, that was another good weekend, store it away, we move on to the next thing. I think we need to come back to this, we recognise that, and in future church meetings and in other opportunities, we're already looking at other people we can invite to come and feed us on this and challenge us on this. So will you pray into it, please? And will you especially be praying for Adam and Naomi, as they're really obviously just coming up to a very significant life-changing event for them, but as they're also seeking to really find out and discover what it is that God wants them to do in terms of their reaching out to people who at the moment are outside of the scope of Jesus' love because they just don't know about it. So I just want to ask you for that prayer, and also finally to say, will you please be praying for the church meeting tomorrow evening? We've got a very serious meeting with a very serious content, and we need to be seeking the mind of God, and we need to come with that attitude. So do please be preparing yourselves for tomorrow evening. Adam.
Well, that's the formal part of the service over, but we're still here gathered as church, so let's stay in this space, let's be a community together, and if there's stuff that you're still processing from the service this morning, stay in this space, get people to pray for you, talk to somebody if that would help you, but don't leave the stuff if God's pressing something on your heart. But let's just pray this as a prayer and as a commission for us as we end our time together this morning. As people of faith, we've gathered for worship. As people of faith, we now return to the world. Go out to share the story of faith, the story of life with the world around you. We share the faith in word and in deed and in speech and in action. And as you go out to give a living witness, as you go out to testify to God's love active in the world, go knowing that God goes with you, sharing the laughter and the hope, the fears and the tears. Thanks be to God.